I speak to you in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. When my wife and I lived in Connecticut some years ago, our older son attended a fine private school in Litchfield called the Foreman School. It's a school for children with learning disabilities. At one point, Daniel swam with the school swimming team. And one day I went to watch a swimming meet. I dragged myself onto the bleachers after a long day at the church office. While I gazed at the frothy figures churning back and forth down the pool, a young man sat down beside me and began to talk. After the usual preliminary pleasantries, he said, "I'd like to know about Jesus." I had barely recovered from that bold inquirer's assault when he went on, "And I'd like to find out about being baptized." Now I really looked at him. I realized that I had seen him at soccer games earlier in the school year. I had even noticed him at church on a few occasions. But I was not prepared for his question, nor could I imagine where it might lead. In those humid bleachers at that swimming meet, how could I have known that the conversation by the swimming pool would eventually lead to an examination by the baptismal pool? And I could not imagine that the simple request to know Jesus would be answered by the festive shout of All Saints Day. I am still kind of haunted by my tepid response to the question set before me by this young seeker after Jesus. Normal religious jargon stuck in my throat. Every suggestion sounded useless in my mind. This particular young man was dyslexic, so I couldn't just pawn a book off on him and say, "Here, read about it." Finally, I remembered Nathaniel's suspicious question about the newly baptized preacher from the forgotten town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What I actually remembered was Philip's answer, "Come and see." So I said to Aaron, "Come and see." And he came, and he saw, and he listened, and we talked. Sometimes we talked about soccer and lacrosse. Once we talked about a crisis of morality at the school. Another time we talked about his father's looming unemployment. One time we talked about God and God's purpose for this world. And eventually we talked about Jesus. And we wondered why God would choose to suffer with us, and how new life could come out of death. It took me a long time to realize what I had invited Aaron to do. He asked to know more about Jesus, and I responded, "Come and see." But I actually had invited him to come and see the people who follow Jesus. I was tempted to offer clever slogans and some kind of formula for salvation. But at least on this one occasion, I had the good sense to lengthen the distance from the swimming pool to the baptismal pool. I insisted that the seeker come and live with us in order to know the Holy One who lives among us. Week after week, this young man appeared. On Sundays, he even sat in the front of the church, like the front row. That's impressive. Sometimes with friends from school, always with one or two mentors in his quest. On Wednesday mornings at our 6:30 a.m. Eucharist, he would show up to pray, to eat the sticky buns we shared, and to join in the conversation of our Bible study. Always seeing more and more of the image of Christ. He was in the crowd waving palms on Palm Sunday. In the darkness, he stood with us around the new fire of Easter, listening to the story of salvation, watching as another catechumen was brought through the treacherous but saving water of her baptism, and watching as we celebrated the Lamb's high feast. Between bites at the party following the great vigil of Easter, Aaron exclaimed, "This is incredible. I know I want to be baptized." At the swimming pool and the baptismal pool, were coming closer and closer together. Week by week, Aaron became a part of us. He began to know the story of God. His exclusion from the Lord's table as an unbaptized person became noticeable and unhappy for all of us. The more he saw, the more he wanted to see. The more we saw, the more we knew the time was drawing near for him to enter the water for good. I've known for many years how the early church greeted inquirers. They were not taught a catechism. They didn't have to pass a test. They were offered an invitation. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see Jesus by coming and seeing us. Nothing was hurried. To the catechumens, the church said, look to the saints who follow Jesus. See the image of Christ in them. Experience the blessedness of the poor and meek, of the pure in heart, of the peacemakers. See how these people serve the poor, cry out for justice, and give themselves sacrificially. Listen to us and talk with us. And when God's call takes hold of your heart, and you have learned what it means to follow Jesus, we will be waiting at the pool for you. So the brief conversation by the swimming pool led to the great festival of All Saints, and Aaron was baptized. He challenged us to be simple and honest in responding to his request. We took him in so that he could come and see Jesus reflected in the lives of some of the saints of God. We were ordinary saints like you are, and our manner of following Jesus was not always splashy or even newsworthy, nor always consistent. But we did seek to follow the one who rose from the dead and who goes ahead of us into a future known to God. Although it seems a distant memory now, the 1990s, if you were around an Episcopal church, you may remember, the 1990s were designated as the decade of evangelism in the Episcopal church. It's kind of sobering looking back to admit that we ever thought that an official designation or a fancy program would get the job done. In my experience, evangelism is difficult for us. Sometimes we can't even use that word. Perhaps we feel incompetent to express the faith that is in us. Perhaps we are deterred by the fear of rejection. Perhaps we just don't want to intrude on other people's business. And these days, with our world in an uproar, with even Christian people and Christian churches at odds with each other over politics and racism and economic policies and general views of the world, it may feel harder than ever to invite somebody to come and see. Sometime, somebody might actually break through all those deterrents, those shields of reticence, and seek the goodness and the joy of the Lord. In the summer and the good weather, when I was the dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo, I used to walk across the street from the cathedral office to the hot dog vendor on Main Street for lunch. Always two hot dogs, mustard, ketchup, onions, and root beer. Taking as long as I dared, I would meander back to the Cathedral Park Plaza that ran along the side of the cathedral. Dozens, some days even hundreds of people were there, sitting at tables on the stone wall surrounding the cathedral, eating, reading, talking, enjoying the beautiful Buffalo summer weather. Usually, I did not stop in the park. I kept thinking about it. I thought about introducing myself to the folks and inviting them to come into the cathedral when they needed quiet or wanted to pray. Alas, I did that sometimes, but I did that less often than I should have. St. Augustine of Hippo once referred to the church as a community of Christians begetting Christians. I hope that someday, if someone you barely know sits down next to you and says, I'd like to know more about Jesus, you'll remember Philip. If you ever find yourself in that wonderful place, for God's sake, please answer, come and see. Amen.